This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. There are 12 original Hooters locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. We have had our podcast drafts there, and I visit them on a regular basis. Let's hear more.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsboro.
My thanks to Original Hooters for their second straight in-season sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Obviously, if you are in the greater Tampa Bay area, you fall within the realm of the Original Hooters brand. If you are outside the greater Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida, in the United States, or around the world, I highly recommend a visit to Hooters for their wings, cold beer, world-famous Hooters girls, during fantasy football season, especially now that we are in playoff time. Speaking of playoff time, I've received a number of emails in the last 24 hours asking various questions, some of which I'm going to touch on in this edition of the podcast. But if you have unique questions that you want a second opinion on, again, I don't want to pick your starting lineup. I just want to offer you a second opinion. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. All right. Recording this podcast after a record-setting fantasy night for Derrick Henry. And I think the most interesting aspect of the record-setting night for Derrick Henry, roughly 47 points in standard scoring leagues. If there are bonuses included, who knows what the final number is. I'm guessing that Derrick Henry was only playing on Thursday night in season-long leagues in roughly 10% or less of games. That's my guess. That the biggest night in fantasy football, the equivalent beyond what Todd Gurley did in week 15 last year, because Derrick Henry had been so touchdown dependent in recent weeks and had been really a non-factor until recent weeks. I mean, Thursday night alone, Derrick Henry scored what he had scored in standard scoring leagues the previous roughly 6 to 7 weeks. And the 6 to 7 weeks before that, he didn't even score that much. And then he was denied on a third and fourth down in the fourth quarter to add a fifth touchdown to the mix. So that's the irony here. That, and there will be exceptions, but unlike Gurley last year, in the playoff semifinals, week 15, where nobody was sitting him. Derrick Henry, week 14, first round of the playoffs for most leagues. In a minority of leagues, maybe the last week of the regular season, I'd say 10% or less of leagues, he was actually in the starting lineup. Yeah. And such is the wonderful world of fantasy football. And for those of you that own Derrick Henry and didn't play him, you can't kick yourself. You really can't. Look, I was even putting together a DFS lineup, playing a showdown captain league. Had him initially in my lineup, took him out. And it's one of those where you just didn't have anything to go on that said a night like this was forthcoming. He had been getting in the end zone in recent weeks. Tennessee had been a better football team, and a better offense in recent weeks. They're the last team to beat the Dallas Cowboys. And if you remember, they were trailing at halftime of that Monday night game against the Cowboys, where Jason Witten was honored, because that's why you heard nothing from Booger McFarland. Because as Booger McFarland turned to me in the very limited time I worked with him on a local radio show during a break, after I praised Jason Witten after a Cowboy win over the Bucks, McFarland turned to me during the break, scowled, and said, quote, "He ain't that good." Yeah, McFarland's just jealous of Witten. That's also why they're not in the booth together. Yeah. So, the biggest fantasy night of the season doesn't really make much of an impact. The 99-yard run, and we've had, what, in the last few weeks, going back to Thanksgiving week, where we had three separate 90-plus yard touchdowns. And then last week, Adrian Peterson, a 90-yard touchdown run. And then Derrick Henry, a 99-yard touchdown run. Also, a great note, Matt Bowen was one of my regular guests in some of the final years that I did national radio shows for Sporting News / Yahoo Sports Radio and hosted Todd Wright Tonight. Matt Bowen had some tremendous insight on pro football. Two things always stood out about what Matt Bowen told me about the game in general, and they still hold up. The first one was, actually three. Number one, teams don't practice onside kicks. They don't. They don't practice them because there's too much risk of injury, even with the new onside kick rules. Teams don't practice that. They may have the kicker practice the kick, but players are not going for the ball or making contact. Number two, teams don't practice Hail Marys. Same reason. Too much chance of people getting hurt. Bowen added on to the Hail Mary comment. Find a pass interference penalty on a Hail Mary. The refs don't throw the flag. They don't. They do not throw the flag. It's the equivalent of an Australian rules football catch, where you're allowed to grab, tug, do whatever you need to do. The ball's in the air, go get it, or knock it down. All bets are off. Matt Bowen told me all these things. And the other thing he told me was, one of the signs that a team has quit and is done for the season is when the defenders tackle with their arms. And you saw that on the Derrick Henry 99-yard run. I had mentioned on previous podcasts and on my VEASAN segment with Gil Alexander that the Jags 6-0 shutout against the Colts was a blip. It was a one-time aberration because that team has gone to shit after their beating of the Patriots in what, week two? It was. That team didn't want to play, didn't want to make the trip to Nashville on a cool Thursday night. They have nothing to play for. And you saw that in the lame attempts to tackle Derrick Henry on the 99-yard run. And Matt Bowen told me years ago that is one of the key signs of a team that has quit for the season. They don't tackle properly. They try to tackle with their arms, and that's it. And you saw that on that play. So, Derrick Henry owners, I was one of them. I traded him away at the very last minute on the trade deadline for an injured AJ Green, who was getting ready to come back, then did come back, then hurt his foot toe again, and is done for the year. But would I have had AJ Green in the lineup tonight against the Jags in a podcast league first round playoff game? No. No, I wouldn't have played him. I have Aaron Jones, and then I have a decision to make between Tariq Cohen and James White. I might have thought Derrick Henry would get roughly 40 yards and maybe a touchdown, 10 points. Cohen could get more than that. James White could get more than that. I just didn't want to risk it on a dog game. So again, that's the most interesting part of Derrick Henry's enormous fantasy night, is how it doesn't show up in the actual score of 90% of season-long fantasy leagues. That's my estimate. Not just because people weren't playing him, but because this is a week where a lot of teams have a week off. Teams are in a first-round bye. Teams that didn't make the playoff have the week off. They'll play next week in a consolation game. Week 14 is a week where not everybody is playing season-long fantasy football. That adds to the fact that Derrick Henry was probably not in many starting lineups, in addition to the fact that Henry just had merited RB1, RB2, or flex consideration for much of the season. This is a guy that in my podcast league, I drafted in the fourth round. I might have started him once or twice, and then never again. Certainly not since Aaron Jones got things going, and since I picked up Tariq Cohen on waivers and traded for James White, or picked up Gus Edwards from the Ravens in recent weeks. But it was a wow night. But it also is very telling how such a big night from a running back registers so little on the fantasy radar from a tangible standpoint, despite being 1 week before the big Gurley game last year in week 15, where nobody who owned Gurley was sitting him. Virtually nobody who owned Derrick Henry was playing him last night in season-long leagues. All right, let's talk about Jalen Samuels a little bit. Especially in Yahoo leagues, I can't speak about CBS leagues, ESPN leagues, NFL leagues, NFL.com leagues. I've received some emails on this, and I play Yahoo leagues as well. Samuels is listed at two positions, running back and tight end. I do not know the reason for this. It had no meaning until now. I don't expect Yahoo will change the designation on Samuels by Sunday at roughly 4 o'clock Eastern time when the Steelers play the Raiders. Samuels was one of the top pickups on waivers this week because of the injury to James Conner. In my foundation league that I commission, and in many leagues across the country where Yahoo is the platform, the engine, the server, whatever you wish, people who picked up Samuels actually can slide him into the starting lineup as a tight end. This is especially advantageous in mandatory tight end leagues where people don't have Ertz or Kelsey or Ebron or Kittle or Cook or Gronk, etc. Is it right? No. Is it against the rules? No. So here's my recommendation. if you are an owner that picked up Samuels this week, reach out to the commissioner of your league and the team you are playing this week and get a conference, basically get a conference call. If you are the commissioner of a Yahoo league and Samuels is playing in a playoff game or a regular season game to determine a playoff spot, get the owner of Samuels and that opponent of that owner on email or on a conference call. If you are the opponent of a team this week that picked up Samuels, reach out to your commissioner and the opposing owner. Get on the same page right now. Make a decision. Here are your choices. Unanimously decide if Samuels can play running back or tight end, or unanimously decide he must only play running back. Everybody get on the same page before Sunday, and make it before Sunday at 1 o'clock, because this affects the way you would otherwise structure the rest of your lineup. For example, if the majority decision is that Samuels cannot play at the tight end position, then you need to give that owner time to make the decision on whether to start Samuels at running back or play a traditional tight end. Don't leave this until later. It's going to lead to problems. It's going to lead to arguments and people being mad for a day, a week, a month, the entire offseason. Don't do it. It's fantasy football. Get on the same page. And again, get the commissioner involved, or if you're the commissioner, get that owner who picked up Samuels on the phone or via email with his opponent. To me, those are the key three parties. It doesn't have to be the entire league right now. We may only be talking about one game this week. Now, Connor could miss another week with that ankle injury. But for right now, make it three people in a room and no one leaves the room until all of you agree. Does Samuels play running back, or can Samuels play anywhere you can plug him in a Yahoo league? I think if you all get on the same page and make that decision, you'll all be better for it come Monday and Tuesday and beyond. That's my advice there. All right, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. I wanted to spend the majority of my time on those two factors. The other thing that's been coming in via email a lot, and I encourage more of your emails as it relates to your playoff lineups this week, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, and giving you a second opinion on any of the matchups. Rams and Chiefs both have matchups against opponents that give owners cause to pause. Probably more for the Rams at Chicago than Chiefs at home against Baltimore, but still. The theme of the emails I'm reading, I believe, is accurate. That you may want to avoid stacks in these matchups. An example. No names. One email I received. The gentleman has Mahomes. And he also has Hill. And he also now has Ware. But he is concerned about the matchup against the Ravens and knows there is a chance that for the first time all year, the Ravens could slow the Chiefs offensively and limit the numbers. So rather than have all his eggs in one basket, he's considering using his best available player at one of those three other positions, one of those three positions from another team. For example, Phillip Rivers has a great matchup this week, has had a very high floor in recent weeks, and an owner has Rivers and also has, and we'll put Goff into the mix here because this was another email, Goff or Mahomes. And his approach is, I'm thinking of playing Rivers, not playing Goff or Mahomes, and then playing all my other guys in the tough matchups. That way I'm not fully invested if things go south and those defenses play well against them, but I still have guys in those games if they play well. I think that's the way to go. You know, in recent weeks, my Kamara Thomas stack for New Orleans has not gone well. I had to overcome that to earn the number one seed in my foundation league in a first round bye when Thomas and Kamara did not perform for the second week in a row in that Thursday night game last week against the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not as concerned about the matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the point being is that when you stack players and the opposing defense shuts that team down with your stack, it hits you hard. And this week with Rams at Chicago and Chiefs at home against Ravens, stacking multiple players from those teams in your lineup might not be the way to go for the first time all year. You might want to look at other options. Not taking them all out, but not stacking two or three players from the Chiefs or from the Rams in those games in your lineup. Maybe pulling one of them back if you have another very good option, like, say, a Phillip Rivers, in a very good matchup this week. Again, I'll take your emails through Sunday morning at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Original Hooters. Good luck this weekend.